Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. This is Zach Morgan, co-host of Pop Health Podcast, although I'm flying solo today. Gavin Ward could not be with us. Happy birthday to his wife, although it'll be belated birthday once this podcast airs. I'm in beautiful Culver City, California at the Movember headquarters and joined by Mark Hedstrom, the Senior Vice President of Global Operations. Welcome, and thank you for being on again.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Zach.
And I say beautiful Culver City, and actually at a recently recognized headquarters, your headquarters here was recognized as one of the best places to work in Los Angeles today by Thrillist, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks. No, it's as you can see, I mean, we try to invoke what we do in our everyday world with men's health and making it feel like a place that men want to come to and have a conversation around, which is why we're here talking as well.
Exactly. And that includes a barbershop at the front, a fully functioning barbershop. And so they are truly, truly committed to that. For those of you that know, Mark was actually on our podcast last year as November was approaching. And he talked a lot about kind of the history of Movember and how it came to be and different things that they're focusing on. So we're not going to cover a lot of that. If you'd like to hear all of that, I invite you to go back and listen to it. You can find them on iTunes or online. But Mark, what have you been up to since last year?
It's the $64,000 question with us is, you know, Movember's 30 days out of the year. And, you know, from our perspective, obviously the campaign is much longer than that. You know, we really start ramping up in September. And then we start closing down as we get towards the end of the year because, you know, fundraising doesn't just happen in those first 30 days of November. It's setting everything up and then obviously playing that through into December. But, you know, what typically people ask is what do you do for the other 11 months of the year? It's actually quite a bit of work that we do. You know, as we've grown as an organization and focused on not just prostate cancer, which is what we're known for, getting guys to grow mustaches. We also focus on testicular cancer and men and boys' mental health and suicide prevention. So a lot of work has gone into these past 10 months since we last chatted of really coalescing around when we talk about men's health, what do we mean? And, you know, it's a pretty broad brushstroke approach to identifying what are some of the bigger challenges that men face. How do we, from an awareness and education perspective, engage men in the conversation and help educate them about what risks they face, and then actually get them to take action. So a lot of our time in the off-season is spent getting the education, the messaging right to men, and then investing in programs across those three key areas, so prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men and boys' mental health.
Sure. You actually touched on something that I was going to ask you later, but I might as well ask now. Obviously, it's a blessing and a curse to have a campaign that is so tied to 1 month of the year. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot the other 11 months are spent strategizing and things. How do you stay visible in those 11 months?
No, it's a great question. That certainly has been a big area of focus for us in this past year. You know, and I'll the anecdote that I often use is, particularly with mental health, you don't talk about mental health 30 days of the year. It's a 365-day conversation. You know, sure. You always need to be checking in with yourself, checking in with your buddies, and seeing how they're doing. So that's not just confined to Movember. When we look at the rest of the year, there are what we refer to as moments in time. So we always try to pull Mo into everything we talk about.
Sure.
It's actually pretty good. It makes it easy in a lot of ways. But we look at certain points in the rest of the year where we believe we should be talking and have permission to talk to men or about men's health issues. So World Cancer Day, which occurs in February, Testicular Cancer Month, which occurs in April, Father's Day clearly is something that we're focusing on a lot more now. Particularly, for those of us in the office and then, you know, just guys that I know that are first-time dads or third or fifth-time dads, you know, really getting men to re-engage in what they're doing. So we look at other parts of the year as to points in time that we can continue the conversation.
Sure. To kind of jump into our topic this year, last year on the podcast, you mentioned a term, and it might not even resonate with you, but you mentioned the term preseason Mo.
Yes.
Which had me laughing. how would you describe your mustache when it comes in? I am follicly challenged, so I do not grow a very attractive mustache. Or do you get a good full mustache?
I mean, the one I've got right now, which is my preseason mow, I don't know. I mean, I would say it's decent.
Okay.
But it certainly is a long struggle to get it somewhere close to what it looks like right now. So, yeah, I'm not, I'm not one of these guys that wakes up 3 days later and I have a fully grown mustache and it looks
right.
Glorious. So I certainly struggle myself. But, you know, as I said last time, you know, the importance of, regardless of whether or not it's beautiful and glorious or it's, you know, one or two whiskers, it's the opportunity to engage in a conversation. That's what we've learned about the mustache, is it gives men a chance to engage for that 1 month a year and check in with their friends, have a little bit of fun, but also talk about some of the serious stuff in their lives.
And it is true. Even sometimes the worse the stash is, it starts the conversation almost just as effectively. So each year, it seems that you have a different focus for the campaign within those kind of three main areas. Before we dive into this year's main focus, how do topics come to be the focus of the campaign each year? How do you decide on those or brainstorm those?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So Movember is in a transition period. You know, we've been around for 13 years now. This will be our 13th campaign globally. And I would say, you know, a lot of the campaigns we've run in the past have really been brand heavy. So much more like a commercial packaged goods company type approach to things. So it's really brand forward, and we come up with a theme every year to re-engage the audience in what Movember is. But we're moving to a cause-based model. And what we found is, you know, as we talk to our community, as we've grown as an organization, the cause has come front and center. And that's been leveraged by the investment we've made in programs. So we're moving away from, a campaign every year that's annually refreshed to an ongoing campaign around, talking really about the issues that we support, which is we're asking, people to support Stop Men Dying Too Young.
Right.
And that's what we're looking to do moving forward.
So that's a great segue into the focus for this year. So mental health is something that you've been focusing. You mentioned it as one of the three main focuses. This year, there's a huge push for suicide prevention, mm-hmm. correct? So with the efforts that Movember is making, why suicide prevention this year?
Well, it's always been there. Inside the organization, you don't have to walk too far in this organization amongst the men and women that work here or globally to realize that someone's probably been close to someone who's taken their own lives. So it's always been here. It's always been underneath a lot of what we do. And so when you look at mental health from a larger scale, there are some unique challenges that men face. And, you know, we've actually been funding mental health initiatives since 2006 across the globe. We've invested over $100 million in this.
Right.
And one of the things we found, though, is much like prostate cancer, in the U.S. about 28,000 men a year die from prostate cancer. If you actually look at the report from the CDC on 2014 numbers and what was being experienced just in the United States alone, 42,000 Americans took their own lives.
Right.
That's more than homicide and car accidents combined.
Right.
And 75% of those are men.
Right.
There's something there. And so when we step back and said, we've got to start getting out in front and talking about this and really aligning our education and awareness campaigns against the actual investment we've already made.
Yeah. And I found those numbers to be quite startling, actually, that both in the UK and the US, 75%+ of the suicides each year are from men. I mean, I think that for the uneducated on the matter, I think you can kind of start to see where some of those life stresses would come in, but it is a really kind of like a shot of cold water to see those numbers. It's sobering, definitely. So you are focusing on the Suicide Prevention Day, right? Which is September the 10th every year.
That's right.
Okay. So you start a new program, Making Connections. Is that right? And that's with the Prevention Institute.
That's correct.
All right. Excellent. Do you mind telling me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, from our perspective, the video on September 10th that we put out was really geared towards identifying that there is this challenge out there that men face. But what we did was we actually took real survivors of men who had actually written their own notes and tried to take their own lives and survived or stopped at the last second. And the point of that is they stopped and had a conversation, or they started talking outwardly and not just writing it down, but talking outwardly about their challenges and why they got to that point in making that type of decision. And so we step back and, you know, that's clearly the front and center. That's the, if 31,000 men in America are taking their own lives each year, that's the tip of the spear. That's the real challenge that we're trying to tackle. But if you step back from that and you look at prevention, or reduction in trauma and PTSD, not just within the armed service community, but just with, amongst men and boys, that's where we have to start. We have to start way up front and look at prevention. So our work in Making Connections is about going into 16 communities of varying shapes and sizes right. across this country and saying, how do we put in place a system of ideas and practices that allow these men and boys, if they experience trauma, have places to go to talk through their issues and seek help. And that's a real challenge. But that's what we're focused on, is how do we get at that early as possible and prevent things from occurring in the first place before they become desperate.
Right, and you mentioned the 16 organizations across the different communities. Those were the different sections that they focus on were actually based off of a study that was done, right, that kind of identified people who were at higher risk of suicide?
That's right.
Okay.
So, and that was commissioned by the foundation, the Movember Foundation, with the Prevention Institute. So we took a very concerted long-term look and said, if and when we invest in mental health in this market, because we had it until 2014 in the United States, we want to know that we're going to invest in the right thing that is scalable and impactful. And so one of the things that we stepped back and said is, like, you know, we're not experts in this space. We need to go out and talk to the people who do understand what's happening here. So we commissioned a study by the Prevention Institute that was called Making Connections Amongst Men and Boys for Mental Well-Being. And what we found was there's a series of stressors, and there's other things that happen in American society that don't exist in others. And those put undue stress on boys at a very young age, and that plays through to when they're young men and adult men. And that became the underpinning for our work. So we were very methodical in understanding what are the root causes of the problem, and then identifying what communities were at most risk for those stressors. And a lot of that is, communities that have inequity, communities that are of men and boys of color, and then armed service members.
I was also struck by, I believe I was reading an article on Vice with one of the Movember co-founders, and there was another, kind of, again, sobering statistic about the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. about 41% attempted suicide rate.
Yes.
And so I know that's one of the focuses of that as well. It makes sense when you step back and think about it, but again, it's a startling number when you're for the uninitiated on that to really look at. And the video you referenced, it's called Suicide Notes Talk Too Late, correct? And that can be found on the website and on YouTube as well. I watched it. I'm not an emotional person, but I will say it really hits deep. I encourage people to watch it. It's under 2 minutes, I think.
Yes.
Or around 2 minutes. And like you said, it's stories of men reading their suicide notes that they didn't, thankfully, have the chance to leave for other people. Was there any kind of background to that video, or how did that come about? Because it's a really powerful message.
Yeah, we 2 years ago we had floated that as an idea, and we did a very small footprint and concept around suicide notes, talk too late, and it was just more of a social play to see whether or not it resonated with our community and the larger community, and it did test quite well. It's a risky place to go, and we spent a lot of time, and you know, that first year was just like, okay, let's understand how do we engage in this conversation, because the reality is it took us a year to, one, not only produce that piece, but also to prepare ourselves. And the point of that is that we knew, and we worked very hard with the clinical community globally to say, if we're going to produce this piece, we need to make sure it doesn't trigger
right.
People having that ideation, and that they don't go down that dark path. And so when we got into campaign, you know, we fully invested in having crisis counselors at a 24-hour basis across the globe. So anyone who was experiencing or seeing that video that might have been in that space, that they had a chance to reach out if they self-identified through social media or other means to us, that we had crisis counselors on hand to actually sure. engage those individuals and get help as quick as possible based on what that person might be identifying with.
Yeah. There is a gentleman in the video, I believe his name was Nick. Mm-hmm. I read an article, after I watched the video, I read an article that he had written online, and he had a comment in there that really stuck with me. He said something, people who experience suicide ideation usually don't want to die. They just don't want to live the life they're living anymore.
That's right.
And he talked about how the thing that saved him was talking about it. And just from what I know about Movember and what your campaigns are, it seems like a lot of the things that you try to do is just to get men to talk about their issues, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical health. How is that so important for men's well-being overall?
That's a long conversation. So I'll try to hit the high notes.
Yeah, my apologies.
It's an incredibly important question to ask. And you know, if you step back and you look at society, and you know, I have a 3-year-old boy, one of three brothers, and so you know, within two generations of just being experienced being dad and understanding what my brothers and I were taught when we were growing up, you know, men are not talk about their emotions. They're told to keep things to themselves. You know, you rub dirt or you wrap some duct tape on it when something hurts physically or mentally. So men just, we've not been trained to have that conversation. And so that gets at, you know, how we're pushed within society to look in a certain way. And quite frankly, it's a very narrow definition of what it means to be a man.
Sure.
You know, your point about the LGBTQ community and the suicide rates amongst that community, I mean, that's because they don't sit in that very narrow definition of what it means to be a man.
Right.
And, you know, our whole mission is we've got to expand out that definition. We have to start to be more inclusive. And one way to do that is to get all different types of men and, quite frankly, the women,
right,
to have that conversation and start talking more openly about the challenges that men face.
Right. And I think just on an even wider scale, I mean, this all just plays into the idea of depression and not having people to talk to. And I think that everybody has, if not a personal experience, at least a very close experience with some level of dealing with depression and dealing with severe anxiety. And it can be very difficult to talk to people about those things and about things that might, like you said, portray them outside what kind of the society idealistic man, the structure of that is. And so it is an important thing to get people talking. And again, it goes back to whether you have a full luscious mustache or one like mine that's maybe not quite as impressive. How do you know about how many beneficiaries there are from Movember, or how do you pick beneficiaries or charities that Movember supports?
So we approach it from two different ways. So we have Men's Health Partners that we work with. The Prostate Cancer Foundation here in the U.S. has been a partner of ours since 2007. So we work with them and through their model to identify the best first in field research to treat aggressive forms of prostate cancer, so we can get to a point that no man dies from that disease. But we also self-fund. So prostate cancer is the same place that we self-fund on an initiative called True North. And True North is this global approach to understanding a moment the man is told that he has cancer. And it's not just the man, it's the partner. It's the family. It's the care team around that individual patient. How does that conversation go from there? How do we help that man and that partner and family make the right decisions about what does that man and that family seek to achieve over a long period of time? So when you ask the question of where do you see yourself in 6 months in treatment or not in treatment, where do you see yourself in 3 years, where do you see yourself in 10 years? So really giving that very longitudinal approach. And that's something that we self-fund at a global level. So we do it both through beneficiary partners as well as we ourselves. And we can do that global investment simply because we exist in 21 countries around the world, and we can break down borders and get people to collaborate across borders.
Sure. And it must be a challenge specifically on the prostate cancer side, because it develops in men as they age. Do you find that a lot of the people who participate and raise funds, do you find that it tends to be a younger subset of men, or do you find that it goes kind of across the age spectrum?
Well, I think, you know, obviously testicular cancer is the leading cause of cancer diagnosed amongst men between 18 and 35. Prostate cancer, you know, starting at age 50 or even a little bit younger, age 45 for some men based upon ethnic background.
Right.
That's where they sit. But a majority of our, you know, it's been interesting to watch, having been here now for 5 years, our community is you know, getting a little older like me,
sure.
In some ways, but we are still engaging younger and younger men. And that's been a focus of ours, is because we know, much like we do in the mental health space, if we can get to boys or we can get to younger men and get them to a place they're more comfortable talking about their issues, whether they're physical or mental, that actually helps them over a longer period of their lives. So certainly the community on average is, you know, the 30-year-old guy, and he's looking to grow his mustache because he's got his, you know, corporate job, and he's looking to be a little rebellious maybe, to guys that, you know, have been doing it for years and, you know, they're barbers.
Yeah.
So it's a really wide-ranging community. I think, you know, majority of folks that fundraise for us believe in what we're trying to do.
Right.
You know, it is about having some fun, but it's really getting after the conversation that they know they want to have and the conversation we're trying to have on a larger scale.
It's interesting, with it being a younger subset. I mean, I didn't know a lot of the things about especially prostate cancer until we started as a company participating in Movember. And, you know, kind of when the onset is and if it's right for you, when you should start getting tested. And then I had a family member within the past year be diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was refreshing in a weird way to know a little bit about what the situation was, just from what I had learned even from participating here. And so I think that that's an important part too, with having a younger subset as they grow older, so that they know what those things are maybe before it's too late, especially with something like prostate cancer, where the symptoms don't necessarily show early on. And it really is found through regular testing. And so I can appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and it's simply, you know, if you stick with that, you know, for the two cancers, the male cancers that we focus on, testicular and prostate, you know, educating younger men at 18 to 35, you know, they might not be familiar with their bodies and their testicles in particular, right? You're a guy, you don't think about it that way.
Right.
But getting them to understand that just doing a self-examination, you know, in the shower once a month, just to make sure that everything feels right and looks fine, is important to get that into that habit and becomes habitual. And then as you get older and you start thinking about prostate cancer, to your point, it is one of those diseases that if you're not aware of the risks that you might face because of your genetic background or your ethnic background, you might not even think about it.
Right.
And so the real challenge is oftentimes, you know, once it leaves the prostate and metastasizes, it becomes a pretty fast-moving and deadly disease.
Right.
So the ability to just understand the risks that you face, and that if you feel like you need to have a test, then you go talk to your physician and go through that conversation.
Right.
Is it important for me? Should I have this test? That gets you to a better place. At least you're more informed and more educated about what potential options are out there for you. And I think that's incredibly important to get across to a lot of men.
Absolutely. And I would like to point out that for anybody listening, that on the Movember website, there are solutions and materials and education pieces, both from Movember and from partners, health partners, for all of these different things. So if you would like any more information on some of those things, please feel free to check out the website, movember.com. So we had talked a little bit off the mic, but are there any particular initiatives or charities or projects that Movember is working on that excite you particularly?
Yeah, if you look at mental health, I mean, there's just so much work to be done, and you know, there's some great organizations already in the space tackling the issue, and we're hoping to be part of that contribution moving forward. There's a lot, and I think it goes back to something I talked about a little bit earlier, which is broadening that definition of masculinity and this idea behind social connection. You know, as I get older, I realize, you know, I mean, I have, you know, the luck of being involved in Movember and have a better understanding of connection and conversation that I might not have. But that idea behind masculinity and connection is really a pretty interesting space. And one of the things we're working on is, you know, looking at barbers. You know, we have a barbershop here in the office. We have a barbershop in our Toronto office as well. And it's one of the few places that men currently go on a very frequent basis, right? And it's actually a place, if you just sit in a barbershop whether it's an African-American barbershop or it's down the street or it's here at Movember, guys talk, and they talk about stuff that you might not hear anywhere else. And that's a critically important place for us. So we're developing up a program with barbers across the world to say, you guys are talking to these men. This is an opportunity for us to leverage that conversation point where these guys are coming because they need their haircut or they need a shave, and engage them in a very high-level conversation about how they're doing, and yeah. offer opportunity for us to educate men about some of the challenges they face.
How long have you been with Movember?
This is my fifth year with the organization. So, I get two mustaches a year. I think when I joined, my wife thought I would only have one, but then I had to grow my preseason mow just to make sure it came in every year. So, it's my fifth year. So I think I've had, over the course of that time, I threw in a couple extra mustaches. So I probably had about 15 mustaches in the last 5 years.
Well, that's great. What kind of led you here? I mean, there's been a lot of progress in the 5 years that you've been here. But like you said, Movember is in its 13th year. Mm-hmm. What kind of drew you to Movember?
It's actually a conversation with my wife, and over a long period of time and sort of my professional progression, where I was and what I had done, but on a personal level, I was so busy with work, and I didn't feel like I was contributing to something bigger than myself. Sure, I'd go to charity dinners and I'd donate to different charities, but I didn't feel like I was part of a fabric of making a difference. So. And quite frankly, some of it was just happenstance. You know, Adam Garoni, who's the co-founder and CEO, he and I live on the west side of LA, and we had mutual friends, and that's how we get introduced. So it was luck, but also I was looking for it. And, it became one of these things where I now get to show up at work every day and have a really great place and a great team to come in and spend time with, and I get to do something that I feel like is actually contributing to something much bigger than myself.
Sure. You mentioned that you have a 3-year-old boy.
I do. Mm-hmm.
So obviously you're involved at Movember at a very high level. Where do you think, like, what are some of the things that you think can be achieved, you know, by the time your son gets into adulthood? Or what would you like to see achieved in the way of men's health moving forward, or maybe, 10 or 15 years down the road?
Mm. Yeah, it's a great question. And 4 years ago when we found out we were pregnant, the thing that I think we both focus on in raising him is I want my son to be kind and empathetic, just as I want my daughter to be kind and empathetic if I ever have a daughter. But that's what I hope. That's what I hope to gain out of this, is that men my age or our sons or grandsons get to a better place, and they're kind and empathetic. They treat people well, and they're comfortable having those conversations. You know, we've been pretty bold in this past year, going back to what have you been doing for the past 10 right. months since we last sat down. And we've drawn a line in the sand and said by 2030, we look to reduce those men dying by suicide by 25%. So I take that forward. My son will be, he'll be close to 20 years old at that point,
right.
if my math is right. I want to feel like that we can get there, and I believe we can.
Right.
Hopefully that's a better world that he's going to be in.
Absolutely.
At that point.
Well, besides growing a mustache, because I think that that's maybe one of the challenges that you must run into, that a lot of people grow it for Mustache Movember, but maybe don't necessarily get involved. How do people get involved with actually fundraising and supporting the Movember campaigns?
It's quite simple. So you just go over to Movember.com. You can either do it with your buddies, on your pickup softball league or the guys you hang out with or women in your lives, and register on the site, get your friends to sign up and join you, do it with your friends at work. You can get the guys to grow mustaches. We know some guys, are more into the beard thing, and some guys are like, no, I don't ever want to see myself with a mustache. We get it. But trust me, there'll be one point in life you want to see what you look like. Get guys to
might
grow.
Might not like the outcome, but yes, definitely
want to
know.
So, it really comes down to three things. It's grow a mustache, move for Movember. So we introduced physical activity for 30 days as part of it, and that obviously gives us the opportunity to engage more women in the men's health conversation and
right.
engage women in being physically active and hopefully mentally better off as well during Movember. And then just host an event, which is, it's not a new concept, but it comes back to this idea of getting men and women together at a point in time and reconnecting or connecting with new people and having a conversation. When you sit down and you have a trivia night, or you're just going out and doing some kind of fun move activation as well.
Or a first Friday at the Movember headquarters.
Or a first Friday, yeah. We just had one a couple weeks ago, a little. Our roots are on Abbot Kinney here in Venice, and first Friday is a big thing over there, so we thought we'd bring it to Culver.
Sure. And I think one of the misconceptions that people have about fundraising or getting involved is that to fundraise, you have to be a huge donor or things like that. But I think that you had sent me the statistics, and I'm going to get it wrong, but somewhere between 100 and 150,000 people just in the United States participated and contributed last year. And I would imagine that not all of those people are mega donors. And I would imagine that the people who fundraise just what they can and contribute that make probably combined one of the largest impacts on the organization. And so I would encourage people to not just grow the mustache, but sign up and get involved. And you had mentioned earlier, it is a great way to be able to grow facial hair at work if you're not allowed to otherwise. Mark, thanks so much for sitting down. Again, I'd like to encourage people to go to Movember.com. You can also find Movember on Facebook or on Twitter at Movember, Instagram at Movember. You can also find Mark on Twitter at M to the HCA. Is there a background on that?
I think MHCA was gone. So it's just my initials and California. So, and it's a little bit old school rap approach in there somewhere. So.
Hey, I like it. And you can find me on Twitter at PopHealthZach. This has been another episode of Pop Health Podcast. This is a service of 24-hour home care. We really appreciate Movember for being on with us, and we love supporting you guys every year. It's one of our favorite things to do. I encourage everybody to go out and have a very happy holidays and the end of the year.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.